the other members coming in a moment. Members, please vote to signify their presence. Have all members voted this morning? Secretary, close roll. Please note, and also present, Senators Mulcahy, Senator Bennett. Please note Senator Sturgiluski and Senators Ziegler, Victor Fisher, and Fahrenkamp are also present. Secretary, without objection, waive the roll call. Secretary, take the roll. All members, please vote. Have all members voted? Have all members voted? Secretary, close the roll.
Roll shows 17 members present.
And we stand for the invocation.
Let us all pray. Almighty God, our Creator, our Sustainer, even as we meet here at the beginning of a new week, we acknowledge our indebtedness to those who have gone before us, people like William Seward. We thank you for the inheritance that they have passed on to enrich our living. Now in this time when we are confronted by increasing needs, diminishing resources, I pray for the men and the women of this Senate. Give them vision and courage, the ability to act for the good of the state and of the people. O Lord, may the events and the remembrances of this Holy Week serve to increase our sensitivity to the spiritual truth and to the word that you have spoken to all humankind. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Does the Secretary certify as correctness of the Daily Journal? Senator Ray.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the journals for the 68th, 69th, and 70th legislative days and Senate Supplement Number 11 be approved as certified.
No objection, so ordered. There are guests for introduction. Senator Gilman.
Mr. President, thank you. We have with us this morning a person who can truly be qualified under the definition celebrity. As you know, Mr. President, April is National Cancer Society Month, and that Governor Bill Sheffield will serve as Alaskan State Honorary Chairman. This morning we have with us the National Honorary Chairperson. Besides being the Chairperson of the National Cancer Society, she is also a Board of Directors of the First Federal Savings Bank of California, a spokesperson for municipal bonds, on the Board of Directors of a realty company, and a corporate spokesperson for General Electric. However, we all know her as a talented actress she is. From the Emmy-winning fame for TV series Lassie, join me in welcoming Miss June Lockhart.
We welcome you here this morning. Senator Mulcahy.
Mr. President, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce to the body an RSVP student from Sandpoint, Alaska, Tatsui Moto.
Senator Sturgiluski.
Mr. President, I'm delighted to introduce a friend who also happens to be my first cousin from Bellingham, Washington. I'd like you to welcome Doris Shorvat.
Rules, Chairperson.
Yes, Mr. President, in the far gallery, it gives me great pleasure to introduce not only two very, very good friends of mine, but two constituents as well, Jan and Bert Baumhoff. The Senate will remember that Jan worked for the legislature for a good 55 days, and Bert, it's a pleasure to tell you, came in 22nd in the recent Iditarod race and did very well on that trip to Nome. Jan and Bert Baumhoff.
Yes.
I'd like to point out that Bert beat my ex-staff person, a very fine young man, Steve Rieger. I think Steve was about 38th, was it? Yeah.
It's really good to have you, and congratulations to you, Bert. That was a lot of fun for us, too. Are the messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor.
There are messages from the House.
Message of March 25, the House passed the following. Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 15, Finance, by the Finance Committee, establishing a joint House and Senate Committee on Oil and Gas.
Resources, Finance.
CS for House Bill Number 103, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, an act establishing the Department of Corrections and transferring certain functions of the Department of Health and Social Services to the Department of Corrections, providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 251.
See, it is. House Bill 103.
Yeah, that's the corrections. That's the one we have.
Okay. What?
We're holding up.
Okay, I'll give it to you. And Senator Ray has the Senate counterpart to Senate House Bill 103. We will assign it to Judiciary and Finance, but of course the Health Social Services Chairman has the option of requesting that bill. You have the floor, Senator.
I have the option of requesting and having my request acknowledged by the Chair. Thank you.
He's a very good lawyer. The next bill, please.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 251, passed by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, accommodating to state support for education, providing for effective date.
Interregional Affairs, Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
Message March 25, the Speaker has discharged the Conference Committee considering House Bill Number 166, making special and supplemental appropriations for oil and gas matters, and Senate CS for House Bill 166 rules, effective date failed Senate, consisting of Representatives Bedesworth, Chairman Barnes, and Davis. The Speaker has appointed the following members to a second conference committee to consider the above bills, Representative Calgary Chairman, Representative Tischer, Representative M.M. Miller. The President appointed March 25 a free conference committee of Senator Ray Chairman, Senators Mulcahy, and Bates.
A conference committee. Are there any communications?
There is a communication on March 23rd from Senator Dick Fisher, Chair of Senate State Affairs Committee, and Representative Richard Rube, Chairman of the House State Affairs, proposed that the verbatim proceedings, the recent joint Senate and House State Affairs Committee meeting, and oversight on the last permanent fund. This has been distributed to all legislators and is on file in the Secretary's office. That is the only communication.
Are the reports of standing committees this morning?
The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill Number 73, Commercial Fishing Loans, and recommends to be replaced with a committee substitute, and a majority do pass. Signed Senator Barenkamp, Chairman, concurring Senators Elias, Mulcahy, and Ziegler. Senate Bill 73 has a further referral to Labor and Commerce. That is the only standing committee report.
Reports to special committees.
There are no special committee reports.
Resolutions for introduction. There is a resolution for introduction.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 22 by Senator Vic Fisher relating to the establishment of the United States Academy of Peace and Conflict Resolution.
Rules, Chairman.
Yes, Mr.
Chairperson.
President, may we have a brief at ease, please?
We'll be at ease. Reference. Senate, please come back to order. State Affairs Committee with the resolution's assignment.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 112 by Senator Ferguson, an act providing for the assessed value of certain real property within municipal boundaries and providing for an effective date.
I believe the original bill had Community Regional Affairs, Finance.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 157 by Senator Moss, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for resurfacing Bradway Road in the North Star Borough and providing for an effective date.
Would that Transportation, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 213 by Senator Ferguson, an act relating to certain property tax assessments and appeals and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs.
Those are the new bills, Mr. President.
Takes us to the daily calendar. Will the Secretary please read House Concurrent Resolution 11 by title?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 11 by Representative Fritz, relating to the use by pettit jurors of earphones. The Judiciary Committee considered this resolution and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Ray, Chairman, concurring Senator Ziegler, Josephson, and Eliason.
Bill is before you for discussion and debate. Current resolution. Self-explanatory, one page. Question is, shall House Concurrent Resolution 11 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change? Have all members voted?
Senator.
Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Will the Secretary close the roll?
The roll shows 17 yeas, 2 excused, 1 absent.
House Concurrent Resolution 11 has passed the Senate. Takes us to unfinished business this morning. Are there items under unfinished business? Are there announcement of committee meetings? Committee meetings? Rules Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. President. At noon today, the Special Committee on Legislative Reform will continue its debate and working of draft legislation in the Butrovich Room today at noon. The Finance Subcommittee for Health and Social Services will meet every day this week at 4 o'clock. In the Senate Finance Committee Room, we will continue with Health and Social Services agency budgeting. And the Rules Committee will meet Wednesday, March 30th at 12:30 in the Belts Room, and the agenda will be announced.
Further announcement of committee meetings. Resources, Chairman Person.
Mr. Chairman, today at 3, the Resources Committee will be meeting in the Belts Room. We'll take up Senate Bill 32, Senate Bill 128, Senate Bill 140, and Senate Bill 141. The bills have been previously read and posted.
Further announcement of committee meetings for Monday. Takes us to items under special orders. Items under special orders. Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I have the permission of the floor to speak under special orders on revenue expenditures?
You have the floor, Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. 3 weeks ago, when I questioned our overall spending pattern and pointed out that we were headed toward a zero FY84 capital budget, I was told that my analysis didn't represent the view of management. Over the weekend, I took the presentation that was made to finance by OMB and added another column that reflected, in place of their column C, a column C that reflects really where we're going in terms of overall revenue and expenditures. The numbers, the only numbers changed are actual numbers reflecting what we've done in supplementals, either through the Finance Committee or already passed the Senate. And if you add all of those numbers together, we find that we're going to spend in FY83 a total of about $3.9 billion with a total income of about $3.5 billion. That represents an increase in supplementals from the governor's figure of 363 to 461, which has already passed out of finance and does not include the supplemental appropriation for University of Alaska classrooms. It also represents a change in the lapse projected in the governor's figures. I don't think we're going to find that agencies will lapse $40 million when we're trying to reduce budgets. In fact, we're already starting to use some of those lapse funds and carry forward into other projects. In FY84, it adds the $100 million that is a bottom-line necessity for cleaning up the energy projects and finishing what we're already working on, and shows a zero available capital budget with only $6 million left as a cushion. Now, these numbers can be adjusted back and forth for whether you consider U of A classrooms under the $50 million for new legislation and reduce the new legislation down, but the total effect is still the same. The effect is that we don't have any money for an FY84 capital budget unless we look to the permanent fund undistributed income, the rainy day fund, or the dividend account. That's what I was trying to say 3 weeks ago. It didn't represent the opinion of management at that time. I hope at least management is looking at the alternatives and may at some point present us with a total package of just what we're proposing to expend and where we intend to get the money, so that we don't make decisions dealing with the permanent fund, dealing with dividends, and dealing with other things that are important to the people of Alaska by default because we've made the wrong decisions early in the session. Thank you.
Senator Sackett has a very detailed effort going on now, and while he is concerned, as we all are, I think he has a very, very competent and in-depth report on budget and funding available. Senator Rohde?
Mr. President, move and ask for unanimous consent to go to the floor on the same topic.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I appreciate the remarks of Senator Halford. I think they're quite accurate. About 3 weeks ago, I did a similar projection. Each time we do a projection, we see that revenues are going down. It coincides with the best advice that we've been able to get on oil prices, and that is we probably haven't seen the bottom of oil prices yet. I think it would behoove us to be very, very careful in our spending, and I see the supplemental budget is referred to as the jobs bill. Certainly that's either a misnomer or an attempt at humor, because it's really not going to provide any jobs. By the time that the bill does pass, it will probably be in the 84 budget. The construction industry, according to all the figures that we have available, is going to be rather healthy this year. Considering the slide in revenues, the best course, the best practical course for this body to take with regard to expenditures is to push those expenditures into 1984 or 1985, when we will have a need for employment. In addition, if revenues drop as low as most people think they will, we might want to reconsider our spending patterns, and certainly the longer we wait, the better information we'll have. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Senator Sturgalewski.
Special orders, I move and ask unanimous consent that I could address the same topic.
Without objection, you have
the floor. Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate your comments. However, it looks like we're having a major push to put through a $250 million capital bill. I concur with the figures that Senator Halford has developed. We're looking at somewhere around $6 million, and you can adjust that up 50 and you can adjust it down 50, but that's not going to cover the major things that are out before us. The way I see it, we're going to have some deficit spending for fiscal year 83, so we'll have to adjust some effective dates, and I think that's a poor practice. We've not brought in classrooms for the University of Alaska. Those run around 60 to 70 million. We have a major 302 maximum security long-term prison, somewhere in the neighborhood of 45 million that's not included. We have, for our own community that a number of us represent here, we have the Aklutna Water Project. It's going to take more than a few prayers to provide the water that community needs. I've been told that we have $60 million that we need in matching funds for the to match the federal highway dollars. Of course, there's been an increase there with the increase in the user tax on gasoline we've got to come up with. We haven't even started to talk really about the ports, adequate dollars for the Privilof, for the Seward, for Ketchikan, and we're moving ahead with the bill that has many good things in it, but it's got a lot of wants and not needs, and I think to pass that, and there's an effort on now to try to veto-proof that bill, and I think that there's some real concerns about our moving ahead. I don't want to get up and say that bill should be vetoed, but obviously we have to have a substantial revision in our capital budget, and I think to do anything less is not responsible action. And it seems to me what we're kind of doing by moving ahead without having the total picture, and we've gotten up on the floor, the minority has, a number of times in the last few weeks saying this, we're putting a bow and arrow and we're pointing it right directly at the undistributed income account from the permanent fund at the rainy day account, at the amounts for dividend distribution for fiscal year 83 earnings and fiscal year 84 earnings. And that speaks nothing of the fact that we're going to go with the budget that's being proposed, that we're going to go into fiscal year 84, the end of fiscal year 83, with a footnote that says we still have a debt of $600 million to the permanent fund. I don't think the voters out there are saying that they want us to use up all of those funds and not meet the obligations that earlier bodies have gone ahead and supported. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess I want to say good morning. I think, with the exception of a few of you, most of my colleagues will probably remember a year or so ago when I gave a Chicken Little talk from the seat right next to me, that in fact the revenues were falling. There are those of us who have been aware of it for the better part of 2 years. One only really has to watch the world trend on the pricing of oil, and one can get conclusions that we are not at the bottom yet. And I certainly want to enjoin the four speakers who, in fact, are now aware of it, and I hope that they will assist us in doing the necessary adjustments. And we will take the budget right on down, as we have done in the past. We did it last year at about day 64, day 65 of the budget. We peeled out several hundred million dollars. We're doing it again this year. There's really little new about it. If one read the front page of the Anchorage Times last week, you would have seen an article in there. But it goes on back, and it has gone on back for about 18 months to 2 years. There are those of us who are well aware of it, and we plan on escalating downward. So while there is a dire problem, it's not a new problem. But I certainly enlist and appreciate the support of those who have addressed the subject a little earlier. Thank you.
Senator Kelly, you have a split.
I'd like to address the floor on essentially the same subject.
You have the floor, Senator, without objection.
Mr. President, the problem as I see it is essentially we can pretty much assume that things are going to get worse before they get any better. I recently returned from Washington, D.C., and I spoke with the Secretary of Treasury, Don Regan, last Thursday. And his analysis of the situation is that, yes, indeed, oil prices are going to continue to drop, and they probably won't stabilize at the current levels. So United States Senator Ted Stevens has the same opinion. So I think, Mr. President, that prior to passing a quarter of a billion dollar supplemental capital projects bill, that what we should do is in public and probably on this floor get together our figures and come up to a consensus of just what's available, and then break out our priorities from that. But to pass a quarter of a billion dollar supplemental project before we know what revenues are actually going to be available, Mr. President, and in order to do that, to be willing to go in and strip out any excess funds that we might have to cover future shortages, I agree with Senator Sturgiluski. I think it would be very irresponsible.
Senator Pettyjohn.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask unanimous consent to be allowed to address the same subject.
You have the floor, Senator.
It seems to me that we've been here for over 2 months, Mr. President, and I don't think that we, at this point, have a total spending plan for this year, for this session. It seems to me that the approach we're taking is to fund the pork first, and then when we get down to the needs of this state, we're going to be using the permanent fund to pay for those needs. I think that's backwards. And I keep hearing all these words from everybody, and I read it in the print, and I hear it on this floor, but I don't see the action to back it up. And I think it's time for action more than words on this subject. Thank you.
Further items under special orders? Senator Ray.
Mr. President, privilege of the floor to address the same topic.
Senator Ray, you have the floor.
Well, I've just been sitting listening with a great amount of interest, and I think anybody that has followed the finances of the state for any length of time knows that there is a problem. It's, as the co-chairman of the Finance Committee said, it isn't a new problem. It might be new to some people here, but it isn't new. We all anticipated the revenues would drop. I would just caution the members to don't commit suicide yet until you see what the actual facts are, and just be alert and seek knowledge and find out what the problems really are, and we can discuss them. Reasonable people can always discuss things.
Senator Victor Fisher.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent to be given the privilege of the floor to address the Senate
Senator
on the same
Victor
topic.
Senator Fisher has the floor.
Mr. President, I'm sort of saddened by this discussion today, not because of the subject matter, but because of what's being done here. I'm one of those who's been working on the issues of Alaska's economy for more than 30 years. Over the past 15-plus years, I've been very directly involved in Alaska's economy. Over recent weeks, I've been working very specifically on the issues that are being brought out today. Over the last three, 4 days, I've very actively talked with many people in the Senate, majority and minority alike. I've talked with the governor, with the budget director, and lots of other people.
That's 15, 20 minutes ago.
In fact, I use the expression to you, things probably will have to get worse before they can get better. And I'm bothered by the discussion here because it is so thoroughly political. I don't think that it's being carried out with the intent of solving any problems. Because then I think it could have been done in a better way, in a better form. And we're told that instead of concentrating on basics, we're pushing pork projects. At first we take care of pork. That's nonsense. We're talking about mirrors. We're talking about a lot of very basic needs and issues. We're going to be talking about the University of Alaska Anchorage and Fairbanks. We're talking about water and sewer projects that are critical. I'm one of those who is very concerned about whether we can make ends meet, whether we're not going to be putting so much money into construction this year that we'll actually have much more construction this year and then have a decrease in economic activity in 84. That's a real concern to me. But I just hope that people don't play politics with this critical issue and move along toward a joint cooperative solution. Thank you.
The floor,
move and ask unanimous consent for the privilege of the floor on the same subject. I think that we have shown our care and concern over what's happening in the state. We've been involved a number of this in a long, long time. We have a debt management, debt capacity study that's under. We have some concern over what's happening there. We've talked about a contingency plan. When we are not given a place on the Finance Committee, when we do not have people in legislative finance, it has meant that we have had to go out and do our own developing of the figures. We have brought it to the attention repeatedly. We have a place on this floor, and that is the only place, seemingly, without a recognition of the minority that we have. We agree, we think, that these are serious matters, and I think I, for one, certainly will pledge myself to work at it. We cannot work through you unless we have a forum for that. So our only forum is before this floor. And to take action now that's going to mean that we move into the permanent fund, and because we have passed the $250 million and other things, I don't think is responsible action. And if there's any kind of a place where we can sit down and work on these, such as a contingency plan that would get into matching of taking a look at our cash management flows, that would say what we do in the case of serious downturns. We're willing to do that, and we have discussed it, but we need that forum and that place to do it. And if there's no place else, we take it to the floor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Ray.
Oh. There's no other business to come before the Senate.
Senator Joseph.
May I refer to unfinished business, Mr. President?
Under unfinished business, without objection.
I thank the chair and the president and the majority leader. Mr. President, we had, in the HES committee had given notice of hearings on Wednesday regarding the scholarship loan program. There were three bills then, Senate bills 118, 185, and 197, all relating to that subject. Since then, Governor Sheffield has, through the Rules Committee, introduced Senate Bill 209 and Senate Bill 210. And I would ask that the 5-day notice rule be waived so that we can consider those bills on Wednesday in HES together with the other measures on the same subject regarding scholarship loans and the student loan program. I ask unanimous consent.
There is no objection, so ordered. Rules, Chairman.
Excuse me, Mr. President. I just can't resist temptation. I move and ask unanimous consent to speak under special orders on the subject of the capital supplemental budget bill.
You have the floor, Senator.
My colleague from Anchorage mentioned that this should not be a political issue, and I agree with him. And I can't help but think back and ponder when the vice chair of finance, when this bill was up for discussion, looked out in the audience in the finance committee room and said, "Is there anyone here who wishes to testify on this bill?" And there was silence. And then he gave it another shot and he said, "Is there any legislator here who wishes to testify on this bill?" No one came forward. Then the bill went to the Rules Committee, and I would like to note that we also had a public hearing on this bill, which is very unusual, and only because the finance chairs were very gracious about it that the bill was opened up. No one came forward. One senator did, requesting a technical change. None of these issues were brought forth in two particular times when issue time for public debate were available. And I think it's just very unusual that certain members of this body say that there were no other time available to talk about the policy of this bill or the movement of this bill. Because I can remember two very distinct times, one time in finance when no one came forward.
You have the floor, Senator.
Permission to floor speaker on the same subject. I've got to say this, Mr. President, because when we had the Rules Committee meeting on the finance version of the bill, of course, we didn't have the bill in front of us. And so it's pretty difficult to make a argument on a bill when you don't have the latest version in front of you. Now, that was at the 12 o'clock meeting. But the point is, Mr. President, that I think we all submitted our request to the Senate Finance Committee, those of us in the minority, to the Senate Finance Committee, expecting or hoping to see them in the bill. Now, when the bill comes out, Mr. President, and our requests are not in the bill, I think the big message is that your input isn't particularly required in this committee, and if you want anything, then you'd better take it to the floor because you're not going to get it in the Finance Committee.
The floor, just to comment on the same topic, to inform the senator from Anchorage or Eagle River, wherever, the last speaker, that the Rules Committee meeting was held in the House Finance Chambers, and unfortunately the senator was gone. He had an extended absence doing something else, and possibly he wasn't there when the bill was there and the amendments were presented.
Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator Joseph.
Same subject, if I have unanimous consent to address it. I'm a little concerned about the tone of this morning's discussion, as Senator Fisher was. I don't question anyone's motives. I think perhaps my colleague from District G, however, noted that we have already debated this bill on the floor of the Senate. Five votes were cast in the negative, and I respect those who voted in the negative. The Senate's work on this measure is substantially done already, and I would never object to any senator speaking under special orders, but I don't question the motives, but I think that the debate is coming in the wrong sequence. We had a mild debate on a few amendments that were offered. The senator mentioned that requests were made to the Finance Committee. I don't think the senators from the metropolitan Anchorage area on the Finance Committee received requests for particular items, although we initiated consultations with the minority. I must say, in all candor, that comments that the caucus not represented in the Finance Committee is terribly hampered strikes me, if I might say so, as somewhat disingenuous. Their representatives have spoken in great detail about budget matters on this floor. And to my knowledge, they have had whatever access they wanted to financial information through the legislature. Certainly my staff has not been asked by them for assistance, and that assistance would be offered. And perhaps I'm remiss in not having made that clear if I didn't as soon as the Senate was organized. So I think we should try to have more light and less heat, and realize that we have substantial public business to do. We should try to do it together, and not rake over debates that we had here on the floor of the Senate the first week we were here, and that we had here when the supplemental bill was on the floor and which was passed. I would propose respectfully that we have these debates at the time when the measures are before us and not after the fact, Mr. President.
Senator Halford.
Mr. President, could I respond to the same topic under special orders?
There's no objection.
Just shortly, I would like to say that I appreciate the comments of several of the members of the majority. At this point, we have a majority of the members of the Senate have recognized and referred to the minority as a minority and as the minority. If, in fact, they'd been consistent with that referral and there'd been a minority member on finance, then there wouldn't have had to be a call for testimony from legislators. There would have been a member there to present the minority view.
Senator Ray.
Topic, Mr. President. I think that the expressions were the minority opinion and not necessarily the minority, because there is no recognized minority in the Senate.
Senator Ray.
There's no other business to come before the group here, the Senate. I move we adjourn to 10 a.m. Tuesday, March 29th.
We're adjourned.